Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
We're starting a series called Pioneers. And in studying through this, I just felt in the season that we're in that God wanted to speak to each and every one of us to tell us who we are and what he's created us to be, that we're pioneers. And can I give you one of the definitions? There's a bunch of great definitions, and as you think about it, like pioneers, okay, like, you know, we're talking like old, you know, wagon trains and going across the plains. And I'm not necessarily taking that bent on this, but the definition applies. But one of the definitions says to venture into an area or prepare a way. Or to prepare a way. I'm going to share some scriptures where it uses the word pioneer in some of the definitions about Christ and about those that have gone before us. But to venture into an area or to prepare a way. And whenever I say it that way, do you understand what I mean? That we are called to be pioneers. Each and every one of us, as followers of Christ, are called to pioneer. We are called to prepare a way. We're called to venture into an area. I will tell you, you say, what's God's calling for my life? I know it's not to stay in the same place that you're in. I know that. What does he want me to do? I know that he doesn't want you to not talk to people. Did I say that as a double negative? Is that right? I can't remember. I wasn't that great at English, so. He doesn't want you to stay silent. Can I say it that way? What he wants you to do is to get outside of your little bubble and break free out into an area and open up who he is to those around you. He wants you to prepare a way for people to come to know him. He wants you to be a pioneer of faith. That is your calling. I won't tell you, or I can't tell you all the details. And can I be pretty honest with you and tell you that many times God probably won't even tell you the details. I'm not going to say he won't. But you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, go out and prepare a way for people to know me. He's going to say, go out and talk to people and share who I am. He's going to say, go out and be a pioneer. Go be adventurous. Get outside of your bubble, if you will. And so before we start this series talking about different stories of people in the Bible and this subject of pioneers, I wanted to talk about this race that we're in. And I'm not a runner, and I never have been a runner, okay? I've tried it. It just doesn't work. I may look like a runner. I know a few people. I have a daughter that's a runner. I have a nephew and cousins that are runners. I think like yesterday we're out running like a 10K or something. And I'm like, right, Jen? It's like, why? Why you want to do that? Now, I do like riding a bike, and I've ridden bikes for many, many miles back in the day, but for some reason my knees don't like running. But I will tell you, I like to win. I like a challenge. I like it whenever somebody tells me that I just don't know if you can do that. And I will say, oh, you want to bet? I will do that. I will win. I've got a story, I think maybe I said it before, about whenever Tori and I were off at this pastor's gathering, and we were staying at this hotel, and it was a pool, and it was really long. And I was like, you think I could swim to the other side of that pool under the water, one breath? And she's like, yeah, I think you can do it. And I couldn't do it. And then I came back, and she's like, yeah, I knew you couldn't do it. And I was like, you want to bet? I will go again, and I will do it. And I did it. So just a little story for you. And she said, I knew you could do it. I just wanted to say that because I knew that the challenge would make you do it. So see, she's helping me be better by telling me I can't do it. But we are in a race. God has called each and every one of us to a race and called us to win the race. This isn't a race against other people. This is a race against self, if you will. This is a race against sin and the enemy that is wanting to knock you down. He's wanting to kick your legs out from under you and to tell you, you can't do it. But how about let's all be like I am usually when somebody tells me you can't do it and be like, you want to bet? When the enemy comes and says, you can't do that, say, watch me. Watch me do it. When he says, you're not good enough, say, watch me. You know how we can say, watch me? Not because I am good enough, but because he's good enough. Because God is good, and he's given me everything that I need. Because he's good, and he's given you all the essential things that you need to run this race and to run it and sustain you for victory. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, now we have Paul here, he's writing this letter to Timothy, and you have him here at the end of his life, and you know, not all of the apostles and the people in the Bible had time to just kind of like contemplate and write things at the end of their life, but Paul here is kind of like this time where he's growing old and he's coming to the end of his race, and he wants to share these things that he's contemplating and learning. And he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And he's like, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. And I've kept the faith. And when he says, I've kept the faith, it's like a part of, I've finished the race. Like if he hadn't kept the faith, he wouldn't have finished the race. If he hadn't have fought the good fight, he wouldn't have finished the race. And he's saying, I've lived my life in a way, not perfect. I'm not perfect. And I didn't have everything, and I knew how to live with things, and I knew how to live with nothing. But what I do know is that through all these things that I have fought the good fight, and I've finished the race. Each and every one of us are in a race. It's a race for our lives. It's a race for heaven. And with Paul, he's sharing these things, and he says, look, I've fought the good fight, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to keep the faith. It wasn't easy to trust God's promises, as you see in all these other scriptures that I'm not going to get into today. to keep my faith where it needs to be and to be sustained and to follow God. It wasn't an easy thing, but I was able to run the race and I was able to fight the good fight. He says that God has graciously given me the things that I need, not everything that I want, but he's given me what I need. He's given me the strength to keep on going. He's protected me in times when I've been attacked. And as we think about that, we got to think about that there was all kinds of stuff that happened. It's not like things didn't happen to him. But what God did was he sustained him and he got him through. He says, God sustained me and got me through. And we see in 1 Timothy, if we go back to 1 Timothy 6:12, where he's talking really about every single one of us, and he says, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And in the verse before, you know what he says? He says to flee the love of money and pursue righteousness and godliness. He's saying, listen, I want you to fight the good fight. I want you to live in a way that is you running this race to the end of this race being with God forever and being with him in heaven. And to explain that, he says, listen, stay away from loving money, and money leads to every other thing. And I'm not speaking about that, like loving money today, because money is not bad, but loving money is, okay? So let me just leave that at that. But what he says is there's so many other things that comes in with pride and selfishness and lusts, and all these things. He's like, flee from those. And he's saying these things. These words that he's saying is flee and pursue. These are fighting words. You see that both of these things that we're talking about, it's like war and a race at the same time. It's a race because we have a finish line. But when we look at the day-to-day, it's a war for our spirit, for our souls. And when he talks about fleeing and pursuing, he's saying, listen, when you are living each day of your life, run as far as you can from sin. Get away from it. Flee. Leave. And run to God. Pursue righteousness. Pursue him. So I want to step into Hebrews 12. And in Hebrews 11, most of us know that scripture where it talks about the pioneers of the faith, the triumphs of faith. By faith. This pioneer made it to the end of the race by faith. When we step into Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he says, therefore, in such a churchy term or sentence, is therefore is there for a reason. You ever heard that one before? Okay. Whenever they put therefore in the beginning of a sentence, it's because you need to look back to what was written before what we're going to talk about now and see all those pioneers, those people that fought and ran the race and had faith. And it says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, those that fought the good fight and had faith, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So we have this scripture, if you will, is he's like pleading. He's pleading and saying, listen, I've told you about these pioneers of the faith that ran the race and they fought the good fight. And so I want to ask you to consider them, to look to them, to understand that there have been people that have gone before you that were able to make it through. And so I'm telling you that you can make it too, that you can do this. You've got this. He says, look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Run the race. You know, I was thinking about, is anybody in here like a lazy river? Like when you go to a pool, like a lazy river? Are Jim and Quinn in here? I was talking to them. They want to build a pool, and Quinn's like, I want a lazy river. I'm like, that would be so awesome, but so crazy in a backyard pool. I love a lazy river. You know? Do you love? I mean, it's like you get in a tube and you just sit down and you go with the flow. You just let it take you. You just like, I don't have to do anything. All I gotta do is sit. And let it take me where it wants to take me. Right? There's not work to it. It's not hard. All you got to do is just sit back and relax. But we have the tendency to do that not just in a lazy river, but in our lives, you know? Like we have a tendency to just sit back. Look, you don't have to say it. I will say it. I have a tendency to do that. And I'm going, things are going good, and all of a sudden I catch myself and I'm like, woo, this is nice. I was feeling like I was doing a lot of good stuff, and then all of a sudden I just catch myself and I'm like, how did I get on this lazy river? All of a sudden I've stopped pursuing. I've stopped fighting. I've stopped going and running, and now I'm just sitting down, feeling like I'm just going with the flow. But God didn't create us to go with the flow. God did not create us. How do they? I've heard it said before. We're not supposed to be a thermometer. We're supposed to be a thermostat. We don't change with the temperature. We change the temperature in the room, right? I didn't say that first, so don't, like, quote me on that. He has created us to change the culture, to change the room that we are in, not become like the room that we are in. We're not supposed to go with the flow. We're supposed to create the flow, right? To open up an area. To prepare a way for people to know, that flow of bringing people to know who God is. That is who we're called to be. Coasting isn't Christianity. I made that up, so you can quote me on that. See, it seems that the Hebrew Christians had been doing well, but then all of a sudden they just started getting lax and just kind of like letting it happen. So the writer here is just jabbing in and saying, you are not created to go with the flow. You are not created to coast. You're created to change the temperature. You're created to change the flow. You're created to pursue God and bring people into His presence, into His family. That's who you're created to be. In Hebrews 12, they don't have this scripture, but it says to strengthen the hands that hang down and your feeble knees and make straight the path for your feet. Strengthen your hands. Straighten up and strengthen those feeble knees. I have a weak knee. I have a knee that gives me problems. And I know I'm not alone in that. And I'm talking about my physical body here, like, I have issues with it. And do you know what helps me and helps the pain to go away? And what the doctor told me? He says, strengthen it. Work it out. Work it out. Then when you're running, or then when you're playing basketball or doing those things that you like to do, then all of a sudden your knee will be stronger and then it won't hurt. You'll be able to run longer. You'll be able to run the race. You'll be able to finish and not collapse in pain. And that's what he's saying here. He's like, listen, those floppy hands that you got that aren't really doing anything, said, strengthen those hands so that they can do some work. Strengthen those knees. Work those things out. Strengthen those legs so that you can run, so that you can stand, so that you can lift the heavy weight. Strengthen yourself. And now talking spiritually, I'm talking spiritually now. We have to strengthen ourselves. We have to be in the Word. We have to be praying. We have to be studying, allowing God to speak to us. We can't expect to run a race we are not prepared for. Again, I'll say, like, because I've watched people that have done it, it wasn't me. My daughter, she's doing track now, and she did cross country, and she's so good. But I look and see, like, as they're practicing, and I'm like, when are they going to get to a race? You know, like, are you going to race? But the deal is if they didn't take that time to build that strength, if they didn't take that time to strengthen their legs and their endurance and their lungs, to expand the capacity of their lungs so they could take in the air that they need to run that race, they wouldn't make it to the finish line. And it's the same with us. If we don't take the time to strengthen ourselves in Christ, in who He is, if we don't take that time to expand our lungs, or if you will, expand our spirit to allow it to take in more of who He is, we're not going to be able to make it to the finish line. So are we coasting or are we running? My hope today is to encourage all of us to get in the race. We're all in the race, but I mean, like, be one of those guys. You know those overexcited people running a race? You're like, why? Why you gotta be so excited? You know, they're like jumping up and down and like, woo, let's go. That's not usually me, but I'm telling you, let's be that way in this race called faith. That is how we're, like, I want to go out, wake up, and be like, woo! Let's go! I get to run. I get to do this. I get to walk with God. I get to do what He's called me to do. Let's go! I want to finish this race and fight the good fight. Woo! You know? It's like, Tori's going to wake up tomorrow and be like, whoa, what is wrong? You don't want me to do that? Oh. She takes a little bit. She needs her coffee before, you know, it's like, give me a little coffee, and then I'll wake up. So what does it say in Hebrews 12, 1, 3? It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Throw off these things. That's how we have to think about all these things that are not God in us. These sins, this selfishness, this stuff that we might be dealing with. And he says, throw it off. Just take it, grab it, and throw it away. You don't want that on you. You know, another reason why I'm not a runner is because I don't like wearing the runner clothes. You know, I like the big, thick shorts that are real long, you know. I don't want you to see my upper legs. I guess maybe I'm just afraid of throwing off those shorts that cover my legs, you know. I see these guys out there and I'm like, that's a lot of leg you got there. Okay. Point being, these runners, they understand. I don't want to have a lot of extra weight on me. I want to run. We don't need the extra weight. Throw it off. The sin, that what does it say? So easily entangles us. It's like having rope wrapped around your ankles and then trying to run. It says, take it away. Get rid of it. So what do? And he gives us a couple of things here in the scripture, and he says, so we see this great cloud of witnesses that I've talked about before. We can look back to see those that have run the race. In Hebrews 12:1 in the Message Bible, I love the way that it says this. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. As we run the race, as we are living this life, running this race, there's all these people that have gone on before us. And him specifically here talking about those in chapter 11. The pioneers of the faith. And he's saying, listen, you have all these that have gone on before, and they are cheering you on. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know, like, if the clouds are up there and they're just, like, peeking over and, woo, yeah, let's go. I don't know. But what I do know is that they've gone on before us and shown us that we can run this race. They've shown us that we can live this life and pursue godliness and pursue Jesus and live this life and win the race. They're saying it can be done. You can do it. You know, I think that's the problem. So many times we don't even try. And I'm not talking necessarily about our spiritual life now, but like one of the things with my kids, that I try to say and try to get into them, is that if you don't try, you definitely won't do it. It's so deep. Did you understand it? It's just way too deep. If you don't try, you're not going to do it. And for me, and I'm not saying I'm great or anything, but like I will try to do anything, like redo my bathroom. And it's taken like 2.5 months, but you know what? I'm almost finished. I don't work in construction, but I did a good job. But if I didn't try, I definitely wouldn't have done it. You can do this. You can run this race. You can live a life of faith. You can walk with God. You can be strengthened by him and live a life that is incredible if you allow him to be with you and if you get up and do it. You know, I was just thinking about this thing about this great cloud of witnesses, these pioneers that have gone on before us. And I was just thinking about, you know, here this past little bit, we haven't, like I said, Lila is in track, and we haven't been able to go to some of the meets, and finally got to go to one like last week. And I was thinking about it, being a kid, playing sports, or even, you know, growing up in high school, and one of the most amazing things is to be able to have parents and spectators to be there to cheer you on. There's something that it does in you that encourages you and strengthens you. And I felt bad for those that are in sports right now or have been in the past. They're kind of letting people come back a little bit, but that, like, to be able to do these things, but not to be able to have their families with them to cheer them on. And I may get a little too much, you know. I don't know. I've asked Lila if I get too crazy, but when she was running cross country, you know, I would be like, she'd come by, you know, because you only see them like three times. So I had to be extra loud those three times that I saw her. And I'd be like, especially like right before she gets to the finish line, I'm like, you're almost finished. Just do it. Run so hard. Just go. 100% go. Is that what it was like? Yes, it was. Okay. Just go. And listen, whenever he says these pioneers of the faith, those that have gone on before us, that is what it is like. They're saying, listen, we have run this race and we have finished. We fought the good fight. Go, run. Run with all your might. Finish the race. Secondly, it says, fixing, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. This is the NIV, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Listen, he is the pioneer, the one who paved a way. He created the way for us to be in this relationship with God that we get to be in. He is the ultimate pioneer. He opened up this area of relationship with God to us, and he pioneered that for us and to us. And he said in this verse, it says, so look to Jesus, the one who pioneered, the one who created this way for you to have this relationship with God. Look to him. Keep your eyes on him. See who he was. Live, try at least, to live like he lived. Don't be looking at these people around you or these other things that are going on in the world and saying, man, maybe I should be doing that. Listen, okay. I've read too many articles about people, not just Christians, but Christian leaders that have said, I'm no longer a Christian. I've read too many. One is too many, but I've read a lot more than that. And whenever I think about that, it boggles my mind. These people that were leaders, that were leading people in faith, and now have come to the point where they say, I don't believe anymore. What happened? All of a sudden, they said, I just don't want to run the race. I quit. I give up. And all that I can say is, they lost sight of Jesus. They lost sight of the pioneer, the one that opened up this relationship that they could have. They didn't truly look to him. And I can say in most of these, I don't know all the details and all the situations, but I know that there are cultural things that they started looking to. They said, oh, okay, well maybe this is good. Maybe the things that I've thought for so long aren't right. What about the Bible is wrong? And they start looking to these cultural things, these shifts in culture and what's going on, and start pursuing those instead of pursuing Jesus. I'm going to get off of that soapbox. But listen, when I say run the race, run hard, don't stop to contemplate what's going on in the culture. Because it's never good. When we look to Jesus, he's the perfect model for our faith from start to finish. He laid the foundations of it. He's the giver and the sustainer of our faith. He gives us everything that we need. He sustains us. When we look to him, we look to him to see what he did to open up this relationship, to pioneer it, to allow us to have this relationship. And then we look to him to see that he is the one that actually sustains us the whole way. He's everything that we need. And then it says in verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So we look forward. We keep our eyes on Jesus. And as we do, we look forward in our life. We don't look to today. We don't look to tomorrow. Right? When it says, for the joy that was set before him, he wasn't looking at that day or the next day. He was looking at eternity. He was looking at you and I and the things that were going to be accomplished. The joy that was set before him to be seated at the right hand of the Father, to be ruling and reigning, to see us come into this relationship with God because of what was going to happen. He endured the cross because of joy. And I see that, and I think, like, this race that we are running, and the struggle that it might be at some times, and the pain that we might have at some times, that in this scripture it says that we can endure. As we look to Jesus, who endured the cross for the joy that was set before him, we too can look to the joy that is set before us. And that is to be with him, to stand face to face with our Father, with our God, for eternity, to be with him. The joy, listen, for the joy that's set before me, I don't care what happens to me. I just want to get there. I just want to finish the race. I want to get to the finish line and be with God. I will have joy in whatever, in anything. I don't care what it is. Because whatever that situation it is, whether it's good or bad, it doesn't mean anything to me. My joy, it comes from God. My joy is before me that I can finish this race and be with him for eternity. God wants us to look to Jesus. He's saying, look to him, the pioneer, the one who opened up this relationship. Come into this relationship. Run the race. strengthen yourself, strengthen your hands, your knees, your spirits. Just be strong and courageous in who he is. And run the race. Amen. Will you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.